Good morning. I want to welcome you to our Sunday morning worship service at First Baptist Church of Wixom. I want to begin this morning by talking a little bit about the current crisis. Many have made public statements about their feelings regarding our politicians and decisions that those politicians are making that increase the difficulty of life for us right now. Many of you know I do not do a lot on social media, mostly because I can only be on social media for about 2 minutes before it drags me down spiritually. So I want to share something here as a church family as we start our service today. I ask you ahead of time to forgive me if this is redundant. I'm not restating something I read or that somebody else wrote or posted. These are just some things that have been on my mind, and I think as your pastor, I have a responsibility to give you some biblical guidance in this area. I'm having a hard time finding in the Word of God a command to defend our rights or privileges. Now, I know that the Apostle Paul invoked his Roman citizenship at times to defend his own life and to defend his right to share the gospel. And I know that American freedom is something that we value and that many have graciously given their lives for. But I think as a church, it is right for us to remember what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't stand up for freedom. I'm just trying to get you to think biblically. In the New Testament, we do see believers in the church pushing back and disobeying the government, but only when that government tells them to stop preaching Jesus. Never, as far as I can see, when the government cramps their style or limits their income. Now, I don't think that Christians in the U.S. are yet experiencing real persecution. That time may come. When we're told not to preach Jesus, I intend to still keep preaching Jesus. And so that action may be truly persecuted. But if you think that right now you're experiencing some persecution, that the government is targeting you, can I remind you that Jesus said in John 15, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." In other words, don't be surprised. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake, for my name, for the gospel's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, Scripture is very clear about what we should do when we disagree with government. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Can I just remind you briefly, this was written by Peter, a martyr under Roman rule. Another martyr you might be familiar with, named Paul, said this in Romans chapter 13, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Pretty strong words. So I urge you, church, to be careful that your patriotism and that your love of freedom not blind you to the truth that as a believer, your citizenship is in heaven. Paul says, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I pray that you will receive this admonition with the grace that is intended to be given with. And also, I hope that I have not pulled any of these scriptures out of their context and intended meaning. I'm not trying to defend an agenda or a personal position or a political ideology. I'm just trying to provide some biblical guidance and encourage you as a believer, put your anxiety out of your mind today. Today is the Lord's day. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. For some people, today is the day of salvation. There is so much more going on than our frustration. Let's come together as a church. Let's declare as a people, this world is not our home. It's broken. We know that. It's okay. We're just passing through. Let's set our affections on things above, not on things in the earth. Let's declare as a church, we're going to seek the kingdom of God first today in His righteousness. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not bloom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I encourage you as a church to joy in the God of your salvation today. This morning, as we start our service, Brother John Ellsworth, the police chief in Wolverine Lake, is going to open our service with a word of prayer.
Good morning, church. My name is John Ellsworth, and for those of you that don't know, I am the chief of police for the village of Wolverine Lake. I wanted to take a moment to say thank you very much for all of your prayers and all of your support during this time of crisis. I know I can speak for my wife, Debbie, that we really miss our church family, and we are looking forward to being together again real soon. Meanwhile, stay home and stay safe. I want to take a minute and pray for not only our church, but our community as well. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time together as we pray for care and healing for our nation. For those who are particularly vulnerable, we pray for their safety and protection. And for all who experience fear and anxiety during this crisis, we pray for peace of mind and spirit. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters that are missionaries around the world. May they continue to shine your light on your word, Lord. For public officials and decision makers, we pray for wisdom and guidance. And Father, during this time, may your church be a sign of hope, a sign of comfort, and a sign of care and love for all. May we recognize this is not the time to retreat, that this is a time for us to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in every town and every city and every state and our great nation. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. Until we can get together again, God bless.
Let's begin our worship through music this morning, singing a great song talking about our mission to send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let's sing this out this morning.
There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. In the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. In the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. In the light, and the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. In the light, in the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. In the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Welcome to First Baptist Church online. We may not be able to meet together in person, but we can worship together as believers no matter where we are, and we are so thankful you've decided to join us online today. Now here are a few announcements to help you stay connected at FBC. If this is your first time being a part of a service at FBC, we want you to know that we are so glad that you're here. If there's anything that we can do for you, please feel free to send us a message or email so that we can connect with you and pray for you and your family. Thanks for joining us for worship today. Discipleship is still happening at FBC. We want to encourage you to find some creative ways in which you can still participate. There are others meeting virtually through platforms like FaceTime and Skype. No matter the way, we hope that you'll meet and encourage one another regularly to pray and take next steps towards Jesus Christ together. There are many ways that you can stay up to date with events at FBC. You can visit our website at fbcwixom.org, or you can like and follow our Facebook and Instagram page. Also, we just released our new FBC app. This app is a one-stop shop for info, videos, giving, and much more. Just go to the App Store on your Apple or Android device, type in FBC Wixom, and download this great tool for free. Thanks again for being a part of our online service today. Now we want to invite you to join us as we worship Christ together.
Share.
Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate that. I want to invite you to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. I'd like to briefly review the last couple of weeks from Ephesians 4, where we talked about our calling as believers is to be in Christ. And our responsibility when we're in Christ is to walk worthy of that calling. Our role then becomes to be a healthy body part. The power to achieve that role comes through the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit that we all share. And the hope that we have in common is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the supreme example of God's power. That hope is for the wounded, the wondering, the wicked, and the waiting. And no matter where you find yourself in those categories, Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead brings you hope. Now today, we're going to deviate just a bit from our study in Ephesians. If you follow the church calendar, you might know that yesterday and today were scheduled as our annual mission conference. And because of the pandemic lockdown, we were forced to modify our plan, obviously. But I think it's still right for us and healthy for us to emphasize missions at this time of the year. As we get ready for a new church budget year to begin in July, I think it's important for me to remind you to don't stop praying for missionaries. Don't stop giving. We're not ceasing our plans for future trips. We're still planning to continue to do what we're supposed to be doing. In fact, I'm very grateful for the timing that allowed Grant and Holden and I to go and visit the Griffins in the Philippines right before this crisis began. This morning, I'd like to give you some thoughts about our one mission that we share together. And then at the end of the service today, we've got something special for you. So I want to start today by having you take a look at this picture. Do you recognize what that is? I barely recognize it myself. That is the engine bay of my car. It has never been so clean. Weird, right? Well, do you know why it's clean? Well, because on the weekends, I'm looking for things to do. Like you, I'm cleaning out my junk drawer. I actually organized my tools. I found myself last weekend down in the maintenance closet here at the church building, sorting out screws. Yeah, it was that bad for me. I was looking for something to do. My honey-do list that Mari has for me is slowly getting shorter. I'm actually getting some things taken care of on there that are supposed to be done. I think it's right for us as Christians to ask this question, what am I supposed to be doing? What do I do? Now, you're familiar with the Great Commission. It was given with such perspicuity that none of us can wiggle out of our responsibility. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing this. This commission is for all of us. All disciples are to be doing this because this is a perpetual command. The 11 were commanded to make disciples and baptize them, and then they were to teach them to do something specific. Do you see what it is in verse 20? They were to teach the disciples to teach disciples to teach disciples to do whatever Jesus commanded, including this, go make disciples. It's a perpetual command. The disciples were supposed to do this and teach others to do this for all the remaining time in human history until Jesus returned. This is the plan for the church. Our primary job is to reach Wixom and then work our way outward until everyone is heard. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem at home and in Judea, the surrounding areas, in Samaria, other locales, and the uttermost part of the earth. Start at home, work outward. But you don't have to wait until Jerusalem is fully reached. You can start working outward immediately. Remember, the first group of believers was there in Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost, and they spread because of persecution. They spread, and a church was planted in Antioch. Antioch was where they were first called Christians. There was a growing, thriving church going on in Antioch. Some amazing things were happening there, but one particular event happened in Acts chapter 13, where it says that in the church there at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers were assembled together. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. And the Holy Ghost said unto them, "Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Now, Brother Johnny has been talking about this on Sunday mornings with our kids in junior church. The call on the Apostle Paul and Barnabas to take the gospel to people who had never heard, to leave home and take the gospel to the other parts of the world. So the church then prays over them and commissions them to go. Now, a healthy church is doing this, sending people with the gospel message to other places around the world. This is not an optional program for the healthy church. This is the great commission of Jesus to his church. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. How then shall they, unbelievers, call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So our responsibility as a church is clearly to send people to share the gospel around the world. Now, what does sending look like? Well, I want to just highlight three ways that we send people. First of all, we send our own people on short-term mission trips. You might remember that this started back in 2013. Luis and I went on my first mission trip to Brazil and spent about 10 days in Brazil with four different missionaries. The next year, we took 10 adults to Brazil to work on a work project with the Coelhos. The following year, in 2015, my wife and I and Scott and Michelle Ice went on a trip to Cambodia and Thailand. In 2016, the Victories and Brooders took the teens to Ireland. In 2017, my wife and I again went with Bryce and Kayla Benfield, and we visited in Quebec City with the Campbells. The Tackerberries went to Bolivia. We didn't send them, but we encouraged them along the way to go. In 2018, we sent 12 adults to Zambia. In 2019, Jeremy and the Bowmans went to Uruguay. We've sent and helped to send Bryn to France, Joseph to Zambia, Abby and Emily to South Africa. The Fonsecas we've encouraged along as they've taken a few mission trips now to Brazil. In 2020, just a couple of months ago, Grant and Holden and I went to the Philippines. Now, this is a great start. It's a great practice. We should definitely keep it up. In fact, just this week, had a conversation with a few of our missionaries, and the ones that we've come to visit, it's what they want to talk about. What a blessing when you guys came to see us. We're talking with a couple of missionaries now about a trip in 2021 that we want to share with our church family soon. But that's number one, sending church people on short-term mission trips. Not a lot is accomplished from us changing that country for the cause of Christ. Not a lot. Hopefully something is accomplished, but not a ton. But what is accomplished is God doing a work in us and changing us and getting us to think about our responsibility of sharing the gospel. Secondly, sending involves praying for laborers. I'm praying that God would send some full-time missionaries out of our church. Right now, we don't have any sent out of our church serving as full-time missionaries that we currently support. But Jesus told the disciples, you need to pray for this. In Luke chapter 10, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you do that? Do you pray that God would send people from First Baptist Wixom into his harvest? We should. Thirdly, I think sending involves helping to support people from other churches. Helping to support people from other churches. I'm going to just show you a slide here real quickly that sort of represents where our missionaries are serving and where they came from. 10 of our missionaries that we support are sent from Michigan churches. Did you know that? Of our 29, 10 of them are from Michigan churches. Dan Brown is from Parkview Baptist in Livonia, serving in Germany. Andrew Day from Grace Baptist in Gaylord, serving in Ireland. Wad Haddad from Tabernacle Baptist in Hazel Park, serving in the Middle East. And on and on and on. The Harrises from Ypsilanti, the Jewels from Lake Orion, the Griffins from Gaylord, the Raiders from Kinchelow up in the UP, the Ruples from Bridgeport, the Sturgeons from Carlton, all coming from Michigan and being sent out from their local church around the world. Others of our missionaries sent from the United States around the world. The Gregories from Georgia to Grand Cayman. The Ballous from California to Thailand. The Maticheras from New York to Zambia, Africa. The Knickerbockers from Powell, Tennessee to Burkina Faso. The Traumaters from Schaumburg, Illinois to Brazil. The Campbells from Beaufort, Georgia to Quebec City. The Hannahs from Greenville, South Carolina to Taiwan. The Rayfelts from Watertown, Wisconsin to Uruguay. And there's more. But the point is this, what I want you to see is that our missionaries are sent from all over the United States to all over the world. And those churches in the United States that send them and commission them, most of those churches need help in supporting them. And so we help. We help by supporting each of our missionaries. Now, is this biblical? Yes. Paul and Barnabas are sent out of the church in Antioch. But who supported them? Did the church in Antioch support them? Actually, it was other churches. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service, church in Corinth, one of the churches that he planted. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. The churches in Macedonia were paying Paul's salary so that he could live and minister in Corinth. The Philippian church was the most notable supporter of Paul. They prayed for him, according to Philippians 1:18. Paul said, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. You, Philippian church, you are praying for me. They encouraged him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, yet I supposed it necessary, Paul says, to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger that you sent to me to minister to my wants for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. They had sent Epaphroditus as a short-term missionary to encourage and to help and to be a blessing to Paul. But they also gave. Remember, it's funny, Scripture says it doesn't help if somebody needs to be warmed and filled with food to say, be warmed and filled with food, and then not give them clothing and food. You got to do more than that. And that's what the Philippian church did. They didn't just say, hey, we're praying for you, we want to encourage you. They actually gave. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 14, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Nobody thought about this, Paul said. When I first started ministering as a missionary, nobody thought I was going to need some funds, but you guys did. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. I think this is great. The Philippian church was very forward thinking. I was just talking with one of our missionaries this week, and he said, not only has no church discontinued support, but he said, this blew my mind. Two churches called me and said, hey, because of the virus, we're concerned for your well-being, and so we're going to double your support for a couple of months. Isn't that awesome? That's the kind of attitude that the Philippian church had. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Paul says, I'm not charging any community for me to come in and plant a church. That's ridiculous. The gospel is free, but I have to live. I have to eat. I have to survive. I have to pay my bills. And so I need you, church, to support me as I go and share the gospel around the world. Someone else was paying his expenses. So the question that I have for you is, we're talking about unity. Our theme is oneness this year. Does contributing to missionaries' needs around the world, does that have anything to do with unity? And I think the answer to that is yes. It is a definite unifying factor. Supporting missionaries unites us with them. Wouldn't you agree? The missionaries that we've visited, the missionaries in whose homes I have stayed and at whose tables I have eaten, when I video chat with them, I get teared up because I love them. They're like family to me. I want to spend time with them. Our support of them has united my heart with theirs. But supporting missionaries also unites us with the church that sends them. Did you know that? I just listed, or maybe a couple of dozen churches and communities in the United States. These churches are sending our missionaries to their field. We're united with those churches. In fact, when those missionaries have special needs, we'll get letters from their pastor here in the state saying, hey, let me explain exactly what this need is. We're partnering with other churches. Supporting missionaries unites us with new believers around the world. There are people that our missionaries are reaching, that we have a part in reaching as well, because we're unified with that missionary through our giving. And then supporting missionaries unites us with each other. This is a common effort of this church, that we together contribute funds for the support of our missionaries. So as we conclude today, I want to give you some practical application. Each year, I try to remind you of the giving program at First Baptist Wixom. And I think this is important because every year we've got new people as part of our church family who don't understand it. And I think it's important for me to kind of lay it out for you each year. At First Baptist Wixom, our worldwide mission giving is a voluntary offering. For some, it is a re-gifting of unplanned income. Like, for instance, this week, some of you received your stimulus check from the government. Some people in our church say, wow, I didn't plan on that coming in, and I don't necessarily need it, and so I'm going to re-gift it. I'm going to put it in the missions program and send it around the world to do God's work. That would be an unplanned income. But for most people, missions giving is planned. They set a percentage of their income that they might call their regular giving or their tithe. For many people, it's 10%. And then above that, they say, this is what I want to do for missions. I want to do another 5% for missions, or maybe a tithe on my tithe. Maybe I want to do 1% for missions. So I'm going to give 11% of my income and designate 1% to missions, something like that. Many people give that way. But either way, it is a sacrificial gift out of the money that they have. Many people faithfully designate this every week. Some people just roll it into their tithe. I'm just going to give a lump sum to the church to let the deacons and pastor and church budget determine how it is used. And some of that will go to missions work. And that's totally fine. The challenge to you and to I is to go above and beyond. How much can I go above and beyond my normal 10% and give to missions around the world? Now, we currently have 29 missionaries, and we fund each of them at $200 per month. That comes up to a total of $69,600. Now, our present commitment in our budget is $76,600. In other words, we've added $7,000, and I think the deacons have wisely done this so that that extra money can be used for trips or special needs that come up. This year, we anticipate of that total about $45,000 to come in as designated gifts. Now, if you do the math, that is roughly $10 per week per family. Now, obviously, a lot of people give a lot more than that. And some don't designate anything at all for missions. We've committed to the church that everything that comes in designated for missions will be used only for the cause of missions. And if we don't bring in enough to what we've committed, then we're going to take the rest of it out of our general budget. And our goal is to increase this every single year. This money pays for the monthly support of missionaries plus mission trips. And I've told you before that I think this is such an important part of our healthy church, the mission trips that we send our people on. This is not a glorified vacation. This is an effort to change our hearts and to unite our hearts with our missionaries and encourage our missionaries. Every time we take funds from the states to our missionaries to encourage them financially, to encourage them with gifts, and to encourage them with our ministry to them. We'll be doing this again soon. And so I encourage you to jump on board with our short-term mission trips. What a blessing they are. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And did you know the reverse of this statement is also true? Where your heart is, your treasure will easily follow. So will you invest in worldwide evangelism? Will you invest in missions? I tell you, as your heart begins to unite with our missionaries, it increasingly makes more and more sense to financially invest in what they're doing. So I'm going to pray in just a moment. As we conclude our service today, we've created, put together some missionary conversations that we had this week. And we want to give you some snippets from those conversations that we think will be encouraging to you. And so don't turn off the broadcast today, okay? Listen to these missionary conversations. I think it'll be a blessing and a help to you. And then I'll come back in a few minutes and wrap up our service. But let's just ask the Lord to bless our time with our missionaries today. Lord, as we listen to these conversations, would you unite our heart with these people that are faithfully serving you around the world? Would you encourage us? And would you cause us to be more committed to pray for them and to give for their support, that you might be honored and glorified and more people might be reached with the gospel? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Since we returned to Bolivia, we returned in August, and things were going real smooth. We had one of the other missionaries that had taken over overseeing the church and Sunday services, and that missionary is Bud Rader's son-in-law.
Okay.
Sarah Rader's husband. His name is Mike Miller. So he oversaw the ministry there at the church. And then we call them a seminary here. It's a 4-year Bible Institute at which I teach. And there was a student that I was working with for 3 years, and he did the midweek services.
Okay.
So everything, we came back, it was going pretty smooth.
Yeah.
Then we just kind of hit the ground running. We retook the ministries over. We had a children's ministry, and we had a young people's ministry, and the young people's ministry was overseen by this student, and one of the church members drove them the services because there's 4 churches involved, and we rotate services. So we had a church member that was driving them there, and this student that was just overseeing the youth group.
Sure. And when we first came here to the Valley, you know, that was the biggest challenge that we had, was that the believers were not grounded. And it just seems as if the Lord is really bringing that around. Awesome. To answer that burden that we have.
Something that I've been to do for about a year and a half is get something going with some online, especially Salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really know what I'm doing, but I was kind of thrown in the deep end.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Right.
So, and you have to swim, you know? So, our people, you know, our Cambodian pastors have just really taken to it. They're doing a great job. I made some suggestions about making videos, and we've had a video, at least one video on every day since about the 20th of awesome. March, and often two, a couple times three. And so kids services, we've got ladies that are getting on, doing things for the ladies, you know, putting kids services together. Salvation, we've grown quite a presence online quite quickly. Okay. And so from around the country and even in some other countries that are Cambodian speaking people. So I've done a few things to, you know, I've been studying and reading about Facebook and that. So I've been trying to figure out how do we grow an audience. And so we've been, also people because of this are searching, you know.
Right.
They're wondering.
Looking for answers.
And yeah. So, you know, in some ways it's been a blessing to kind of light a fire under us to finally do something like this. Once the coronavirus is over, you know, I've been talking to the guys, and we want to make sure we keep posting two or three, you know, videos a week once this is over.
Yeah.
And so – right now, most of my pastors are doing about two a week just themselves. So right. If we can spread it out and do a couple of months, each of us, I think it'll be good. So we've got a number of missionaries who are contributing as well. I think you met Matt when you were here, and he's, you know, he sent me some videos. And so it's been good. It's, you know, we call it online Baptist Church instead of New Hope Baptist Church, because there's some churches who can't do it. And I didn't want it to be only identified as our own church.
Yeah, good.
And so we got, you know, got some people coming together from other churches to kind of contribute stuff to this.
So it's a big adjustment to switch from never recording anything, because I generally have not wanted to listen to myself speak in Thai. It's very challenging.
Amen.
Now everything, you know, our whole service is online and out there in the world. I feel like it's a good step. There's definitely been a learning curve, but we've had people in the team step up and take on pieces, and we have actually seen some growth in areas that I've wanted to update or improve for a long time, and that basically this has forced us to do that. So good enough. The other thing that I've noticed that's really different is my life looks much more like a 40 to 50 hour work week and then evenings at home than it ever would. You know, typically for us, we would have ministry on about half of the evenings in a given week. And, you know, then we'd have about half of our evenings at home. And that's been, we found good rhythm in the morning with our families and our family time. So there's been, you know, it's been a kind of a blessing for us to get to have a lot of family evenings. And I know I'm speaking to people all over the world who are facing, you know, great hardship with this, and several people in our church as well have really been impacted. Several people in our church are completely out of work. So I don't, you know, I understand, I'm not saying that lightly, in the face of trouble that people are facing. In fact, one of the things that our church has been doing, we've gotten bags of food together, because a lot of Thai families live what we would say hand to mouth. There's this Thai that basically would translate, you catch the fish in the morning and you eat it at night.
Yeah.
And for families that live that way, it's very challenging right now. Right. So we've had a program through our church where we've taken food to church members and neighbors of church members. And so we've, you know, we've stayed connected with people that way. So that's kind of the big picture. I've been really thankful for how our people have gotten on board with the Facebook Live services, and everyone seems to connect pretty well with that. So we
awesome.
And so we're getting used to the city, and we moved here, and the world started falling apart. So we're not sure what that's all about, but our ministry kind of right now is on WhatsApp, which some of you know about. Most Americans are like, well, what's that? You know, I'm like, man, the whole world uses WhatsApp. It's sort of like the metric system for the internet, because everybody uses it except for the United States, you know.
Right on.
But we have our prayer meeting. Like tonight, we're going to have our prayer meeting, which basically is difficult because a lot of our people, and I say a lot of our people, we're new, so they're not our people yet, but they're kind of our people. And there's only like 25 or 30 of them. So, but most of them live on a farm or in the farms where they work on farms, and so their internet connection is really slow. Mm-hmm. And so we have something going on like this. Okay, let's hear, and it's usually typed out, you know, let's hear some prayer requests, 3 prayer requests. Well, then they all pile on that, and then about 20 come in. And then the pastor says, we're going to pray for 3 prayer requests, and then let's wait for Francisco to pray. So then we're like,
yeah,
we wait a half an hour, and then Francisco's prayer comes. So it's definitely weird, but that's what we're doing on Wednesday nights is prayer time. On Sundays, it's similar in a way in that one of us gives a devotional challenge in the morning, and then in the evening we have another a time of prayer. So it's really this whole wacky whatever's going on has really hampered our ministry in that regard. Although the people are united, they're very it's a different atmosphere than our other church in that there are more adults involved, and we just feel a difference. And don't tell anybody this, but we've had 2 church services recently where we actually went out to one of the sod farms and had like what we'd call a cottage prayer meeting.
Well, you know, down here, and I'm sure Bob has told you this, of course, we're about a 2-hour drive from where he is. And we have had coronavirus. I'm saying in Spanish. I'm sorry. We have had COVID-19 here in our village. So things are really kind of hunkered down here. We're limited to, we can only get out for 2 hours a week to buy groceries.
Wow.
And that's according to our identification number that we have. It's like a driver's license number that they use down here. So my wife can get out one day. She can get out on Mondays, and I can get out on Fridays. But because we have the farm, the dairy farm, that's part of the chain, the production chain and the supply chain of things.
Yeah.
So we get a permit. We have a permit that allows us to be out in the morning just to drop off our produce.
Okay.
At a market. And so we can do that weekdays, not on weekends. We're not supposed to, but we kind of do. Understanding?
Understand.
But like you know, we have lots to do because we do have the farm and have the children's home. And that's about a 2-hour drive from here as well, in a little different direction than what Bob is. And so we have to supply the children's home, which has been difficult. And we have to take care of our Bible Institute students. They're right. Stuck here.
Right.
And they don't have any money. They got to eat, you know. So,
yeah.
So it kind of falls on us. But it's okay. It's all going really well. And we had to discontinue our classes, like all schools. However, we initiated classes again on Tuesday using the teachers that live close by.
Okay.
And kind of under the radar a little bit. Taking advantage of a couple of loopholes. It's not really illegal, but it's not, you know.
Right. I understood.
What we have to do.
Yeah.
And but we're fine. Karen's fine. I'm fine as far as the health goes.
Good.
And praise the Lord. We have had some opportunities, like you mentioned. It brings up some special opportunities. We've been, like this case here, having this interview or this visit with you. I've preached a couple of times in the States on Zoom, via Zoom.
Yeah.
Because usually it's not available on a Sunday morning or right. Sunday night. People kind of know we're stuck here, so they contact us. And I've been able to preach in some other parts of Bolivia via Zoom, which is a little bit awkward, you know. You kind of, you're looking at that little dot, little camera on your computer. But It's worked out pretty well. It's that part's been a blessing. And on Facebook, we've done some messages in Spanish.
Yeah.
And they've got around to a lot of people that are kind of held up. So.
Yeah. So we're in late November, the U.S. Embassy changed the travel advisory level from 3 to 4. And that was because of increased terrorist activity and kidnappings and crime, overall crime in the country of Burkina Faso. So we called our pastor and he urged us to return as soon as we could. And so, of course, we had to put certain things in motion for the church to keep going in our absence. And so early December or mid-December, we returned to the U.S. And the objective was to put the family to safety. And then I would go back to Burkina and make trips back and forth to make sure the church keeps going strong. And I made a first trip in January, toward the end of January. And so there was a couple getting married. And so we had a wedding ceremony. And then obviously we're in the middle of a building project. So we had to move forward with that. And we were able to complete the structural work of the building. So that was a big, mission accomplished.
Yes.
And so there still needs to be, electric work done, plumbing, tiling, and for the bathroom in particular before it can be completed. And so, but the church is starting to meet on the new property. So they're really excited about that. The kitchen is up and running. They've already used it in our absence for special occasions. So it's really exciting to see things moving forward there. And, but also during our absence, when we left in December, and when I came back in January, during that time period, no one had done any soul winning or any outreach. And so I was trying to really, I suppose they were all under shock that we had just left abruptly.
Yeah.
And so I had given some instructions, but it was on the go. So when I went back in January, I was able to spend more time and helping them understand this is not our church. You know, this is the Lord's church and it's your church. You're a part of it. You need to everyone. I talked to the men, the faithful men. We got a core group of men there that are really united. And so I try to really help them understand the importance of helping the church meetings to be welcoming to visitors and going together and visiting and soul winning, sharing the gospel with folks in the community. And so it was encouraging because when I left in February to come back to the U.S., they had developed a new time where they would go soul winning, which would be available to all the men in the church. And they have been doing that.
When we were there, Damon, you were traveling out, I think maybe like, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays or something like that. Do you still go out there or do you go once a week or is it less than that? How often are you headed out to the bush?
Right now, it's once a week. I try to go on Thursdays. I mean, but all this has just happened like last week.
Yeah.
So okay. We haven't really
settled into a new routine.
Yeah, the routine hasn't happened. So yeah. I'm just saying what we are thinking we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's a number of things that we're involved in still in the village that we can do. Yeah. Like I usually can go there and meet with our leaders, encourage them, kind of find out what's going on and how the visitation is coming along. We do have a number of projects that are ongoing, like Chimbakezo Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting ready to plant everything right now. So, yeah. And we're not restricted by, you know, the virus in the farm in any way. So that's good.
Yeah.
You know, we were really busy in town with the Hope Chapada Bible study. But, you know, that our last meeting was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today we actually met with, I think, 4 young men from that Bible study. But they came to my house. We sat down and just kind of adapting and changing it up.
Yeah.
Well, we've been watching the progress with Chimbakezo Farms. And between Mari and Bryn and Joseph Skidmore, they keep me updated on, you know, I don't have Facebook very much, but they're like, hey, you got to check this out. What's going on? So we are very excited to follow the progress of your ministry and your family. So Is everybody doing well?
I always tell him, I want to go. I want to be part of. Wait a minute. I am part of that.
Living the adventure, right, brother?
That's what we're proud of.
Living the adventure. Yeah. So how are your kids? Are they all well?
Yeah, everyone is doing really good. We're all healthy.
Good.
The kids, I mean, the virus hasn't really affected their school schedule. So.
I know, right? They're already homeschooled. So.
But yeah, everything with them is going really well, and they're handling it well. I mean, we're not probably going out into town and different places as much as we used to as a family, but they're doing really good.
I have to tell you again, I know we've tried to communicate this with you guys before, but our visit with you was such an inspiration to our church, not just the people that came on that trip, but all of our church. We feel so much more connected with you guys. And I'll just tell you that the excitement level for missions in my wife and my daughter and Joseph and Brighton and Jessica and Holden and Emily, and there's just a whole new level of excitement and interest. In fact, Holden and Brighton have both come to me since our trip and said, hey, we want to lead mission trip planning if you'll let us, and they've already started putting together some ideas for the future for visits to missionaries. So anyway, you guys really inspired our people. And just last month I took Holden and one of our other young men, Grant, on a trip to the Philippines. We spent a week in the Philippines with Lowell Griffin there. We had a wonderful trip there. A little not quite as rustic as being out in the village, but it is a whole new world. And we just, our church just continues to be inspired by people like you. And I was telling, I don't know if you know Stephen Knickerbocker. Stephen and I were just talking this morning. They're ministering in Burkina Faso. And I told him, I said, there are some missionaries where we just feel not only a connection as like family connection, that Philos kind of love, you know, but there's also that respect for what is happening, and we're seeing such fruit from those fields. And I know that, that's in the Lord's hands, right? The Holy Spirit.
Sure, yeah.
But watching couples like yourself serving faithfully is an inspiration to our church. So we just want to say thank you. Please keep that up.
Praise the Lord.
And we're committed to supporting what you guys are doing.
And we're grateful that, you know, that we're a team, and that's exactly how we look at this. I mean, we're here, but we definitely, this is a team effort. I mean, what we do here, every work, every project, every discipleship, every fruit tree that we plant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a team effort. We're doing this together. We're in it together. And without, the mutual partnership, nothing like this can happen.
Yeah. Amen.
Wasn't that a blessing? I enjoy talking to our missionaries every single time I have the opportunity, and this week was very special for me to be able to hang out with several of our missionaries in this way. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for prayerfully committing to the support of our missionaries, and thank you for staying on their side, their team, by praying for them as often as you possibly can. Hope you have a wonderful week in the Lord. God bless. We hope to see you soon. Stay well. Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.